Good morning. Oh, come on now. Like, this is my teen session. My other session will be with adults, and you certainly have to outdo the adults. So, good morning. Which one of you had to be woken up and ripped out of bed to get here this morning? So, do I have you awake yet or not? Did you get awake yet? Okay. I'll try not to bore you too much, and I was sort of glad that I get the first session because I was hoping that at least I would get you when you're wide awake and not falling asleep. So, my name is Denise Grove. I've been homeschooling for about 16 years. I have 7 children ranging in age from 11 to 28. And when I was asked to come here and talk to you guys, it was about something that I'm very passionate about. Now, maybe some of you, especially the guys, may not know what the title meant. Does everyone know what Pinterest is? Yeah, the girls probably know what Pinterest is. I don't know if the guys know what Pinterest is. Pinterest is a place we can go and we can get all kinds of ideas, can't we? We can get all sorts of great ideas and then we attempt to do them and oftentimes we'll get what? Does anybody know? DIY failures. We'll get a Pinterest fail, won't we? Well, you know what I've realized is we have this problem where we continually feel like we need to be Pinterest perfect. But what I also know is that God has a plan for each one of your lives. And there's already a purpose and there's already something that He's doing in your life for you to be able to walk in that purpose. And so I think what hinders it though, and what creates a lot of anxiety is when we have this idea or this picture of the way that we think we should be. And especially if you're nearing the end of high school and you're getting asked the question, what's next? What's next? And there's so many possibilities. And there's so many options, and you see so many people going so many different directions, and you think, well, maybe I should go that direction, or maybe I should go that direction, or maybe I should go that direction. And it just can become overwhelming to us. Do I have any seniors here in this room? Anybody who's done, this is it, this was their last year, or are you going into your senior year? This was your last one. So you're getting asked that question. You're getting asked that question. It can be tough. It can be tough. But this is something that I know. I know that God has a plan for you. And I know that if you seek Him, you can find it. So today, I'm just going to talk to you about 3 simple ways that you can position yourself, that you can hear from God, and that you can walk out what He has for you without having to fall into the trap of what everyone else is doing. And I'm going to start out with a story from the Bible that I love. And it's a story found in 1 Kings, and it's about a widow. And I think we can learn a lot from this story, so I just want to share it with you briefly. But there was this drought, there was this season, and everything had dried up, and there was this widow. And God says to Elijah, go to this widow. Go to her house. And so he does. And I just want to share the story because I think you could learn a lot from this. It says, sometime later, the brook had dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So there had been no rain. And you know, sometimes in our life, we can have some dry times. We can have some times where we're just not sure what God's calling us to do, and we're just not sure what's next. And so that's sort of what this was. This was a dry time. And the story goes on to say, then the word of the Lord came to him who's Elijah, and it says, go to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. See, God commanded him to go, and God commands us to do all sorts of things in His word. Each one of us has been commanded. We've been commanded to love one another, to love God, to seek justice, to show mercy, to show compassion. That's something that is for each one of us. But then it goes even further because I believe that for each one of us, not only do we have commands, but there's specific calls on our life. And it says, when he came to the town gate, a widow was gathering sticks and he called to her. And he asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" And as she was going to get it, he said, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." So God commands us, and we know if we know his word, his commands, but then he will specifically call each one of you to do something, a call to action that's just for you. But what happens is if you constantly are focused on what the world is doing and what others are doing, that will take away the focus on what you should be doing and the call that he has specifically for your life. And so that's why it's so important that we keep our eyes on him and not take our eyes off of what he has for us. And the story goes on, "As surely as your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for my son that we may eat it and die." And so immediately God called her to something, and the first thing she did is she looked at what she lacked. And you might be sitting here, and you might feel like God may be calling you to something. You might have a passion. There might be something in you that just makes your heart race a little faster, and you feel very passionate about it, but you're going to look at what you lack. You're going to think, "Oh, I'm too young," or "I don't have the resources," or "That's not what everyone else is doing." And so you're going to look at what you lack, because that's what we tend to do. And that can be a trap that we fall into. But here's the thing that I love about the widow, and here's just the part of the story I think that we can learn from her. It says, Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me with what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son, for this is what the Lord of God of Israel says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry." See, sometimes when we're called to do something, when he has that call in our life and we're looking at what we lack, we look at that and we're afraid. But he tells us over and over in his word not to be afraid. And he tells her not to be afraid. Now, I'm thinking if I were in her position, I probably would have not listened. I probably would have said, "No, this is all I have. This is it. I can't help you. I'm sorry. Someone else is going to have to help you." I'm afraid that's what I would have done. But instead it says she went away and she did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day, for the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. I just love that story. I love her obedience. I love that we can look to that and we can see that God commands us and then he calls us. And even if we're afraid and even if we think we lack something, that we can walk in obedience. But there's three ways that I believe we need to position ourselves in order to do that. And the first position that I'm going to challenge you to is a position of where you be still and you look up to God. Because see, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for you to do things. There's a plethora of opportunities. There's options. There's sports. There's academics. There's music. There's this activity. There's that activity. There's this group. There's that group. There's this place that the youth group is going. There's this place that my homeschool co-op is going. There will be so many opportunities given to you. But it will be so important for you to learn to be still and to look up. You know, God's word says in Psalms, "Be still and know that I am God." And so I believe if we want to know God and we really want to know what he has for our life, we have to be still, because I believe there's a knowingness of God we will never know apart from that stillness. And so I'm going to challenge you to turn off the electronics. I'm going to challenge you to say no to some activities. And I'm going to challenge you to learn now what it truly means to be still and to know God. Because apart from that, every other decision you make, that's where it's all going to come out of. It's going to come out of a knowing him. And you know, we've kind of gotten it wrong. We've gotten this idea that we work really hard and we take a rest from it. But I truly believe that God wants us to rest in Him and work out of that. And I think if you could grasp that at your young age, of what it means to truly know God, to truly just be still and to listen for Him, it will help you along your life to make many of the decisions that you have to make. And the next position that I'm going to challenge you to is to be you and to look in. God created you. It tells us in Ephesians that He created you and you are a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece that was created in Christ Jesus to do good works He prepared for you a long time ago. Before you were even thought about by your parents, He had a plan for you specifically. Specifically for you. And you are His masterpiece. And He's equipped you for that purpose He has for you already. But you have to embrace who you are in Christ Jesus. We live in an age where comparison, it's everywhere. It bombards us on media, on social media. Any time that's spent on social media, you see what other people are doing. You see how they're living their life. You see what they've done. And immediately the enemy plants that seed that somehow you're not enough. Somehow the giftings that you have are not enough. Somehow you fall short. But that's not the truth. And so when you position yourself in a way that you're still and you look up, and that you learn to be you, the way that God has specifically gifted you, and you look in to what He has given you, what are the things that you're passionate about? What are the things, you know, I know with my children, it's hard sometimes, because sometimes one will really excel academically and one will really struggle academically and one will really excel in sports and one really doesn't enjoy that. And it's so hard to watch that, because I know as a parent where they're excelling is where God has gifted them and that's what He has for them. But I see them look to others. And you know, somehow we always compare our worst attributes to the best of someone else. And that's the biggest trap that you'll fall into. And so I challenge you to look inside who you are and the giftings that you have. And you know, even as an adult, I still struggle with this. I can remember my husband's a soccer coach. And our life is during soccer season is just extremely busy. And I remember one soccer season that we had this brief time that we were able to go away. We were able to go out to dinner. And after dinner, we had some free time. And you know what my husband said to me? Do you want to go watch a soccer game? Now, none of my kids were playing in this game, but I agreed to go watch the soccer game. And we went. And I sat down with a woman that I know. And she started to talk to me about an uncle of mine who has cerebral palsy, and he's since passed away, but she was really sincere and talking to me about him, and she really cared. And the whole time I'm sitting with her, I kept thinking, wow, her teeth are so straight and so white. I wish I would have worn my retainer. Guys, if you get braces, wear your retainer. And so I remember looking at her and just comparing myself the whole time. Her life seems to have it all together and I don't. And so even as an adult, I fall into the trap of not looking in to how God has gifted me and being myself. And so if you can walk out of this place and you can come to a place where you just learn to be still and you learn to be you, I believe you will find the purpose that God has for you. And you know, I think that when we compare ourselves to other people, we will always feel unfulfilled. We will always feel unfulfilled in that. And I also believe when I tell you that it tells us in Ephesians 2:10 that you are a masterpiece, I believe when you grasp that and we start living out of what we know instead of what we think about ourselves, That's when our life changes, and that's when we find our purpose. So I challenge you, when you feel inadequate, to remember that you are chosen. When you feel unstable, I want you to remember that you are able. When you feel unworthy, I want you to remember that you guys are precious. I want you to remember those things, because even if we're rejected, even if we fail, even if we have a relationship struggle, whatever struggle you go through, you are enough. And God has equipped you to do great things. And I don't want you to sit here and think we're too young for that, because you could be the generation who looks in and sees their gift and who changes things. I believe even at your young age, you have the ability to change the tide, to stand out, to be different, and to embrace your differences. And the last position I'm going to challenge you to is to be fully present and to look out. Because when we focus on ourselves, we miss the person in front of us. I heard this story told one time, and it stuck with me, and it really impacted me. And it was the story about this man. He told the story. He carried this box up on stage, this enormous box, and he plopped it down, and he opened it, and he pulled out a typewriter. Now, do y'all know what a typewriter is? You know what a typewriter is. I'm thinking maybe some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Okay, back in the day, before the internet, we had a typewriter, and we would type things out, and the paper would come out the top. Maybe you've seen them in museums. Okay. Well, he had this box with this typewriter, and he pulled out the typewriter, and he tells this story. When he was 7 years old, his sister was in high school, and she got pregnant, and it was just so looked down upon, and their whole family dynamics changed, and their house went from a house of place of joy and laughter to a place of complete silence. And even at 7 years old, his friends knew, and they stopped being his friend. And so his life became completely lonely and completely sad. And one day there was a knock on the door. And he opened the door, and it was the high school football coach. And he said, even at age 7, he knew the high school football coach. Everyone in town knew the high school football coach. And he was holding this enormous box, and he came in and he said, is your mom and your sister here? And he said, yeah. And he went and got them, and he put the box down, and he pulled out this typewriter, and he said to them, I'm not only the football coach, but I'm the typing teacher at the high school. I'm going to come over and I'm going to teach you how to type. I'm going to give you a skill that's going to help you, that's going to carry you. And faithfully, he came over, and he faithfully taught her how to type. And so she did leave high school. She got her GED, and she got a job as a secretary. And she did really well, and she moved up the ladder, and she moved up the ladder, and she moved up the ladder. And today, she is an executive for the company that makes McDonald's Happy Meal toys. All because someone opened their box. All because someone looked out and saw a need. Maybe you don't think teaching someone how to type seems like a very prestigious gift. Maybe you see others and you think, well, their gifting is so much better than mine. What impact can mine possibly have? But you guys are gifted, and the gift that you have, someone else needs. And you have the ability to change a life. If you will only position yourself in a way that you're fully present, that you're not focused on you, but that you're looking out to see how you could help someone else. And so these are the things that I want to challenge you to. Because there's going to be all kinds of lies that you'll be told. But I believe there's a truth about who you are and who you are in Christ Jesus. And I believe if you seek it out, you can find him. But you're going to have to be vigilant. And the last thing you're going to have to do is be very brave. Because people might look at you and think what you're doing is different. And so you're going to have to be brave. It tells us in Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You're going to want to know God's will for your life. You're going to want to know what's in your box. You're going to want to know how he gifted you. And the only way that's going to happen is not to conform to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's going to come through the truth of who you are in Christ. That's going to come through the truth of his word. I challenge you in those moments that I'm challenging you to be still and to know God, to get into his word. You're going to need to know his word so well that when a lie comes your way, you can immediately catch it. You know, a bank teller, when they're learning to tell counterfeit money, do you know how they learn? They count the real thing over and over and over again so that when something comes along and it's fake, they can catch it just like that. Well, you want to know what God has for you, it's going to be the same thing. You're going to have to know his truth so well. You're going to have to renew your mind in his word and know it so well that when something comes along and it's not true, you can catch it just like that. So I challenge you to take the time to know his word, because that's how you're going to be able to figure out what step am I supposed to take next. And then I challenge you just to be brave enough to take that next step, that you don't have to have it all figured out. I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I have 6 more years of homeschooling before I'm going to be able to figure that out, and I still don't know. I get up every day and I take the next step. And so right now I just want to ask you guys a few questions, because I'm afraid I'm putting you to sleep and I'm thinking maybe I need to get you going and get you asking, but I have a couple of questions for you, and then maybe you have a couple of questions for me. But I want to question some high schoolers right now. I'd like you to share with me, what is the biggest challenge that you're facing right now?
SAT.
Yeah. Okay. That is a challenge, right? That is a challenge. Well, here's my answer to my children when it comes to their SATs. Okay, we need to be obedient and be vigilant and be prepared. But beyond that, then we take our SAT, we do our best, and we move on. Because guess what? We are not defined by the number on our SAT card. Your worth will never be defined by that test. It might feel like it right now. It might feel like this weight of, how am I going to do this? But if you've prepared the best that you can prepare, then you go in and you walk out of that confidently knowing you've done your best. God has a plan and he has a purpose for you in spite of what that test shows. And you are not defined by any test that is put before you if you've done your best. What other challenges are you facing right now? What are the big questions that you have?
Math.
Math is a challenge for you in school. Who else has a challenge in math? Yeah, me too. You know what? God's strength is perfected in our weakness when we seek him. And here's the thing. We will be stronger in some areas and weaker in others, and that's okay. And I believe that God will then call us to something that once we've just done our best in the math that we have before us and we graduate, he'll call us something, and it may not even involve math. Or it might, and you might be surprised that in your weakness, he'll supply the strength you need. But we have to keep the focus in front of us that we are not going to be perfect at everything. That's that myth, that Pinterest perfect myth. You are gifted in other areas. There is a plan and a call on your life. So you do your best with your math. And then you keep seeking him for what he has for you. What are the other challenges that you're facing right now?
In context, looking up, looking out, and picking a career.
Looking up, looking out, and picking a career. Well, that's where I truly believe. If you learn to be still and look up to him, and you look in and you think about what it is that you're passionate about, how has he gifted you uniquely? And then you look out and you think, look, where could that gift be used? Who needs me? Not to make me something great, but to make God great in my life. That's what I challenge you to. And then I challenge you to one step at a time. There will be a little trial and error. And I believe that that's okay. I had one son who struggled through high school. He really did. Academically, he struggled. It was not his thing. Graduation day was such a miracle for all of us. And he said to me, Mom, I am not going to go to college. I'm done with school. And I said, that's okay. That's okay. He said, I'm going to work. I said, that's okay. So he found a full-time job. And he worked at that job almost a year. And he came to me and he said, Mom, I hate this job. I'm going to go to school. And so I said, okay. Okay. So I said, well, let's just start with community college. Let's take a couple gen eds. Let's try to get a feel for what you think you feel passionate about. And so two semesters into community college, he came to me, and what do you think he said? He said, Mom, I don't like school. Okay. He didn't like work, and he didn't like school. Okay, we do have to pick one of these things. We have to pick one of them. And so I could have been tempted to be panicked, and he could have been tempted to be panicked. But we started talking about, what do you enjoy? And oddly, he had gotten a part-time job in the kitchen of a Red Robin, of all places. And that's how he was working to pay for his schooling. And he said, I really enjoy the atmosphere, the hustle, the bustle. And so he ended up enrolling in culinary school. The child who I could barely get through high school left culinary school with an associate's degree in restaurant management and culinary arts. He had perfect attendance. He was on the honor roll. And after working 1 year here, he moved up to New York City, and he now works in the restaurant industry in New York City. We could have panicked early on. We really could have. And I'll admit, I probably did have some moments of panic. So if your parents panic, go easy on them. Because let me just tell you something about your parents. They really just want what's best for you. And they're trying to figure it out themselves. And there's a little trial and error in this homeschool thing and helping you. And so go easy on them. Go easy on them. That's what I ask. That's the other thing I ask you. When you leave here, you'll say, Mom, I'm going to go easy on you. But we could have panicked. But here's the thing. God had a purpose and a plan for him. It took a little trial and error to find it. But one step at a time, we found his passion. We found what he loved. And the funny thing is, now looking back, we have these pictures of him when he was young, rolling out pot pie dough with his grandma or cooking in the kitchen. I didn't see it. But there is a plan for you. One step at a time, a little trial and error. Don't look out and compare yourself to other people, but look out and see how your gifts can be used. And I promise you, you will find it, because you are phenomenal. I know that about each one of you, because I believe his word. And his word says that he equips us and he gifts us and he calls us, and that we're masterpieces. I mean, think about that. Because here's the thing about a masterpiece. Sometimes we may look at it, it might not look quite like a masterpiece to us, but to the artist it was. He created you, and he knows. And he sees it. And he has a gifting for you and a call for you. What are the other struggles that you're having right now? Okay, you're going to have to talk loud for me. Picking between two passions. That's a good problem to have, I would think. Hey, maybe God will somehow combine those things. I think when we take one step at a time, without getting too overly anxious about the 10 steps down the road, I believe doors start to open. And so I believe that God maybe will call you. You'll feel more of a bent. There'll be more opportunities, maybe one way or the other, or maybe he'll use both of them. But the fact that you're passionate about something is what's really important. And the fact that you hang on to that passion and you don't allow other people to dictate what you do or how you act or how you live is what will be important. But one step at a time, seeking him, I believe you'll find that answer. What else? What are the other struggles you guys are having right now? I love this part of it. I love to get to pick your brain. Anybody? Saving up for college. That can feel enormous, right? That's an enormous thing. And you know what? I wish I had more tips and knowledge for you. But other than all you can do is just whatever is the best way that you can do it, seeking God one day at a time. You know, I know you're in your senior year, but if you have the opportunity to do dual enrollment, if you can go to a community college to get rid of some of your gen eds. I mean, sometimes we have this prestigious college that we want to go to, but sometimes we may have to start somewhere else, and that's okay. I believe that all roads can lead to the same path that God has for you. And I also believe that it says that God will supply all of our needs. And so I don't think that he wants us to be anxious over it, because his word says, be anxious for nothing. I wish I had a more educated answer to that one, because it is hard. I think a lot of parents probably have that same anxiety because it is such a weight. But I do believe if God has gifted you specifically in a way that he needs you to have that education, to go out and to be a light that shines for him, then I believe he's going to provide for that. Specifically, I don't have that answer, but that is a pressure. And so I just challenge you to each day seek him. And to not become anxious, but to know he'll supply your needs. What else? What if I ask you what if you could change right now about the way that you've been doing things? What would be something that you would change? Or what is the thing that you keep hitting the same challenge and you're just wondering, how can I look at this challenge differently? Or what are the pressure that you're feeling from the outside? We say, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. What are some of the pressures you're feeling there? This is my team right here. This is my front row team. I just met them, but they're on my team. I think probably we've covered a lot of them, so I'm just going to one more time reiterate for you guys. It will be in the way that you will position yourself. I want you to remember the widow. Remember that God will command you and he will call you specifically because he gifted you. In order to find that, the first thing we have to do is be still and look up. The second thing I'm going to challenge you to do is to be you and look in, because you have been gifted. Yes. And the final thing I challenged you to was to be present and look out, because someone is going to need what you have. Someone needs what you have right now. You have a gifting and you have a purpose to help people right now. I believe that. So be looking for that. Be looking for what's in your box. And finally, I challenged you, if you don't remember, this one was to be brave. You're going to have to be brave to go against the patterns of this world, to go against how the way that everyone else is going, to go against the tide. You're going to have to be very brave and very courageous. Well, I'd like to just thank each of you for all of the attention that you've given me, for being such a good audience, for participating. You know, I was more anxious about coming here than to my adult session, but you guys made me feel very welcome. If you have any questions that you didn't feel comfortable asking in the group, but you'd like to ask me, I'll be here for a few minutes, and I do have a booth over in the second building here. I should be able to tell you the number, but I don't have it. But yeah, so thank you so much. Thank you.